Welcome to Green Gaming, a podcast from Mr. Green where we discuss the transformation and the innovations of the gaming industry. I'm your host, Andreas Utterström. Here in the studio, I have two guests. Mattias Vedar, welcome.
And I am the CEO of MRG Game Tech, which is the technology division within the MRG group.
And Maria Sandell, welcome.
Thank you. I have a long background in the gaming industry, specifically from the regulated market. The last 15 years I've been working with both operators and suppliers. I'm currently not active in the gaming industry besides a board assignment in the Swedish Racing Association and working with some non-profit organizations.
Okay, so the topic for this episode is how to analyze and understand risk behavior among the customers. So what's being done today? What will tomorrow bring? And why should I care about this at all? So Mattias, why hasn't more been done in the online gaming industry to develop smart tools to understand and anticipate risk behavior?
I guess it's a good question. I only have 10 months of sort of tenure within the industry, so I'm still learning.
But that means you have a kind of an interesting outsider perspective, right?
Yeah, but I would say that the industry are taking a fair share of responsibility. I don't think we're that sort of junior, to be honest. I think all operators are trying hard, and it will be even more important as market will re-regulate over time. I mean, looking into the Swedish regulation, it's putting a lot of emphasis on this. Now, why hasn't the industry been stronger in the past? I guess it's a combination of monetary gains and without having sort of real demands from the regulators. I think that is the brutal honest answer, to be honest.
But why should you care about this? You're not in the making the world a better place business.
No, but we're about providing entertainment. And then in that entertainment aspect, there is an element of that. There is a segment of our customers that fall under sort of a large risk of playing outside their comfort zone and playing for money that they basically don't have or spending too much. And we need to be responsible in that aspect. Having said that, I think there's a totally different aspect of responsible gaming. And from a technology perspective, we're recruiting a lot of people today. We're recruiting a lot of young people. They're born late 80s, early 90s. They are very aware. To join an operator today, being a technology student or working with technology, they demand that their employer are taking this seriously. So I'm also taking this from a sort of a employee branding perspective.
Maria, what's your take?
Well, the online gaming industry has developed a lot in the 15 years I've been observing it. And going from a very immature to a more mature situation, of course. But I would say one of the root causes for not taking more responsibility is, the mission that the companies have. If you are a gaming operator with the objective to raise money for good cause or deliver as much value to good causes as possible or to the sports, you have a different interest. The online gaming operators are very much driven by generating profit to their owners. And of course, the products that are offered are games that have a higher risk of becoming addictive, like casino, sports betting. But it's a good sign to see that the industry is going to much more responsibility for the players.
What are the good signs, you would say?
I would say technology. I would say investment coming in to actually taking a fair responsibility for the players having a problem with gambling.
But do we know enough about human risk behavior to develop these smart tools? That seems to me like to be a tricky subject for scientists.
Well, I guess you need to triangulate. We certainly have the data. I mean, that we have. We have hundreds and thousands and millions of transactions happening every day. So that we know. But I think the trick is to couple that with more sort of psychological and scientific sort of human insight. And if you can couple that and measure and compare, I think we have better opportunities than many other industries to predict problematic behavior. And the trick is then to combine sort of soft aspects and hard data and build tools that can couple that. If you do that in a smart way, I think we have extremely good opportunities to preempt bad behavior.
So what's the biggest challenge, you would say?
The biggest challenge is to build sort of tools that couples that. It's a hard thing to do, and you need to try, you need to learn, and you need to measure and evaluate. So you need to have your data in order. You need to have data scientists that can extrapolate and build models, and you need to have sort of the psychological element and couple and measure that. So you need to partner up with somebody who can understand the human out, you know, from a data perspective. And to do that takes time and focus and energy, and you need to put that in priorities in your product development roadmap in order to get a good tool that you can provide to your customers.
What do you think, Maria? How should the online gaming industry use all the data they have about their customers?
Well, first of all, I would say that the drivers for gaming and gambling, they are known for many hundreds of years. People have been gaming for a long, long time. And we know the psychological drivers behind the games, and that's not a secret. As long as the operators continue in investing only in products that are built to give players the satisfaction or reward that drive their dependency of these games, it's not going to be enough to just have tools that track their behavior. So you need to also invest in new products, new type of games, in combination with the data that you collect.
Mattias, do you agree?
I definitely agree, but then you need to invest, you need to set aside time and money to develop the tools. We're moving away from being totally product-oriented into being loyalty-oriented. And I think part of that loyalty is to make sure that customers can feel that they act and game in a responsible environment. And that is not a new casino. That's not a new sportsbook. That is something else. That is in a context where they feel safe. Part of feeling safe is that there is a solid, responsible gaming or gambling tool or asset or whatever you want to call it, and that needs to be at the heart of the product offering. And if you look back, I would say the casino industry or the online gaming industry has come from a pure sort of product and feature perspective, where responsible gambling has not been part of the offering.
So how do you build loyalty?
I mean, the industry is a very, the customers are, you could say, very disloyal, or you could say the operators are very much alike. I mean, what is the real difference between us and another operator?
Number of free spins, maybe.
Number of free spins, yes, for sure. But you have the same casino, you have the same sport books. Yes, the odds may differ. So to build loyalty, I think we need to look into where the kids are hanging out at the moment, where you see multiple currencies, you see loot boxes, you see entertainment aspects, you see competition and tournaments. That is where and how I think you should build loyalty, to make sure that you provide something else, something that is more than just another free spin, or something that's more than yet another casino wheel.
You agree, Maria?
Well, I say responsibility is much more than just a tool, and it's much more than just a product. If you put responsibility at the core of your business, it needs to be visible in the marketing communication, in the market message, also in the product offering, and then the tools can follow. And you can have tools that allow players to set limits, but I think it's much more complicated than just focusing on a tool.
But if you think too much about responsibility, isn't that bad for profit?
Well, that's where I think product and innovation come in. You need to broaden also the product offering and invest in new type of products that appeal to a larger share of the population. The casino and sports books are still dependent on a very small percentage of the population, which means that as long as a company is profit driven and have a private interest, you need to, sorry to be frank, squeeze as much money out of them as possible. So I have sometimes difficulties in actually seeing the responsible gaming as a credible strategy for many of the operators. I think it's a difference between having it as a strategy, a core strategy of the company, and having a tool in place. And I think both are needed for the industry to succeed long term.
Mattias, do you think Maria has a point?
I'm sure, but she's not talking about MRG though, because we really protect red players and we stop selling marketing and we really take action. And for us, green gaming is not a tool, it's a concept. It's the heart of our strategy. We talk about three pillars in our group, and green gaming is one of them. And for me, being new in the industry, I scouted around a lot, and I think our company is one of the absolutely best players in sort of taking this really seriously. It's not a tool. It's a concept, and that we need to bring it out 360.
And what's the, just dive a bit deeper into that, what's the difference between tool and concept?
I would guess a tool is somewhere where you just present your data-driven sort of, this is how much you play, this is the difference, this is your profile, and based on pure data. A concept is where you also allow the players to answer, you know, how do you feel when you're playing? Are you spending too much money at us? And then you bring this out concept-wide. And the concept could be, if you score, I don't know, yellow to red from a risk profile perspective, we take different actions. I mean, we might stop sending you SMS or email posts. We might bring it out into marketing. We do that today. That you should be able to play within the MrGreen.com site and feel that you have an opportunity to set limits or to self-exclude your way so that you don't spend more money than you can afford.
As a gaming operator, we have a responsibility to keep our customers safe. That's why we are introducing Green Gaming, to ensure that online gaming remains what it should be, entertainment.
So what kind of innovations do you think will be in use in, let's say, 5 years when it comes to responsible gaming?
Well, I think self-learning systems, artificial intelligence, that we can actually predict much faster and hopefully in real time also when player behavior changes. So that it's not only driven by questionnaires or being, so to say, reactive to the player behavior, but being on time, real time when it happens.
Matthias?
Yes, and then I think I agree. I mean, machine learning is on everybody's lips. And
what does that actually mean when it comes to online gaming industry?
It means that we can leverage the data. We are one of the most transaction-intensive industries there are, apart from banking and insurance, I would say, and take that data and in real time have sort of data models that gives you recommendations as a customer or us a recommendation as a company. And to have tools and algorithms that learn and improve precision, that is how we can improve or use machine learning when it comes to responsible gaming.
Okay, because the buzzwords always make me suspicious. Yes, but when it comes to machine learning, it can have a real impact.
I mean, machine learning is about building something that improves precision over time. That is machine learning, to have an algorithm that continuously reiterates and improves precision. So, I mean, it's an algorithm based on a large chunk of data. That is machine learning.
Mm. And to pick up on something you mentioned before, grow new customers and not, as Maria put it, squeeze out everything you can from the customers you have today. Is that also a part of the responsible gaming
concept? Absolutely. I mean, I think short term, we would be able to generate more profit if we wanted to. We simply could turn off all our, if a customer is of high risk behavior today, we shut them off from sales related communication. Short term, we could turn that on. Yes, we could probably get more deposits and more revenue from that, but we don't do that. We take a hard stop on that. I can't answer for other operators, but I'm sure that we are taking this very, very seriously.
And what's the feedback from the customers when it comes to all those risk behavior tools that you have on the site today, for example?
I mean, we have a fair portion of customers that opt into our green gaming tool, as we call it. And the reaction is mostly positive. I don't have the exact data. I'm not in the customer forefront every day, so I can't really answer that.
And Maria, what kind of innovations would you like to see in 5 years if you could decide all for yourself?
Well, I would like to see the private gaming sector taking a much larger corporate social responsibility. For me personally, gaming should exist for the society, for the good of the society. And I think that component is lacking completely when it comes to the private sector. And if you have that as a driving force in your business also to be part of a community and society and contribute to good, that will have an impact on how you market and what products you sell. And I think that is where the area where the online gaming sector must improve, because what we see today in terms of marketing is not a responsible way of acting. We see all the operators driving really aggressive marketing campaigns in public, but also towards players that have actually tried their offering. So I think it's really, really important that the operators take a part of society and take a look at their offering as a whole when it comes to communication, product offering, and then the tools will follow.
And what's your definition of making good for society?
Traditionally, lotteries and games have been available only for operators that have a license and that contribute with a certain percent of turnover or other parameters to dedicated courses. So I think also that that is an important factor now if we specifically look at the Swedish market where the gaming market is being deregulated, that a lot of questions still remain in terms of how the sports should receive proceeds from the commercial operators or the charities and organizations, non-profit organizations that act in the Swedish market that do not have the same financial capacity in terms of marketing but are fully dependent. So I'd like to see a more fair gaming market with the fair terms and conditions for the players and for everybody acting on the same terms in the market.
And by fair, you mean what more exactly?
Well, I'm looking specifically now at the marketing activities that are ongoing in the marketplace that I personally believe are quite aggressive. And I think that needs to change. And I think it can change by more cooperation. And I think it can change by also finding a way for the operators to contribute to the causes and having that as a strategy in place. And I think that will also help in making gaming a more broader offering.
What do you say, Matthias? Being a good force in society, is that something you should think more about?
100%. But that's why it's so good that the market is deregulating, because we haven't even been allowed to be part of the good cause. We're not allowed to participate in career fairs, for example, at university, because universities find the industry shady. We're not allowed to sponsor sports teams, because that has been to the sole discretion of the state-owned company. So I think the whole opening up and the deregulation is only positive. And then I think that will also open up new types of marketing communications, because I think the problem today is that the operators are too generic. You will basically find the same kind of service if you compare us to different operators. So the industry must be more innovative. I think loyalty is a key component, because if you increase loyalty, your acquisition need in terms of marketing will also be reduced. And we're spending a lot of money on marketing. So, and then paying back to the society, I think I'm all for it. Just give me the opportunity and I will do more.
So what kind of opportunities would you want?
I would like to have same access to. I mean, if I'm taking sort of the employer perspective, I would like to have access to the same arenas as everybody else has. I would like to be able to sponsor CSR activities that I'm allowed to, or can see online gaming as a responsible sector. From a technology perspective, it's an extremely interesting opportunity to work in. If you want to work with advanced and proactive and progressive technology, it's a leading sector, I would say, from a technology perspective.
Gambling addiction that we've been talking about here, is that up to the individual, or we all have a free will, or who should take responsibility for that, you think?
I think both the individual and the operator needs to take the responsibility, if I can be that sort of diplomatic in my answering. At the end of the day, I believe in the individual's each right to consume products up to his or her discretion, whether it's alcohol or gaming or whatever products where there is an element of risk. And then I think the operator needs to take responsibility, since we know that there is a portion of our customers that fall into the risk segment. So both would be the correct answer, I think.
Maria?
Well, I would agree 100% with you on this. I think the individual has a responsibility also. And we can never, by developing tools, protect individuals 100%. The responsibility lies at the individual level, but also at the operator when it comes to finding new products that are perhaps less aggressive in their design.
So we've talked a lot about loyalty and responsibilities, and we in a future episode we will discuss marketing, but let's touch on that subject now also. How does marketing come into that?
How does marketing come into loyalty?
Correct, since you do a lot of aggressive marketing right now.
The whole idea of loyalty must be to provide a service that is so entertaining so that you can reduce marketing. I mean, we want to since we're all competing for the same players, I mean, you have a customer that comes into us and then they leave the day after, and some other operator will be able to offer that person a similar service. So the whole idea is to provide loyalty so that we can reduce marketing, so the aggressivity element of it that Maria's talking about can be reduced. It can never be 100% avoided, but it can be reduced. So loyalty will be an important element of that, I think.
And you think the customers are open to that?
Absolutely. I mean, just look at where the kids are hanging out at the moment, where you see loot boxes and cooperative gambling, playing and stuff like that. And I think the whole industry needs to go from generic to innovative. And I think loyalty elements are a key component of that.
Mr. Green, where will he take you today? From downtown New York to sunny Miami, medieval forest to imperial Rome, escape to outer space. When you play Starburst.
Yeah, I think loyalty is about a relationship, and a relationship is something you form over a long period of time. And if I look back at how the industry has developed, we have basically, if I just simplify it a bit, we have taken physical casino games onto the internet, and we have taken the same type of games, making them digital, and we are just increasing jackpots and speed in them. And that, I believe, has come to an end. We have a lot of suppliers doing that. We have a lot of operators doing that already. So in that context, building a relationship might be quite difficult. So I think the relationship and the loyalty needs to, again, I'm coming back to what I said before, go a little bit further to what good you do in society, also offer other type of services. And
like what, for example?
Games that don't require you to spend thousands of kronos or euros every time you play, or that requires you to sit and spin thousands of time before you get a reward, or if you get a small reward, you are forced to do it again. Something that actually enforces the relationship part and long-term commitment is something that I believe that the industry, if I look at the online gaming operator, should look into. Mm.
So is that like a long time strategy that you're working with?
I think there's another element of loyalty, and that is also, again, to use the data from a personalization perspective. Mm-hmm. I think we have the data.
Another buzzword.
Today we generate basically the same experience when you log in as I log in and when Maria logs in. I think using the data to give you a start point where we also can guide you. If we see problematic gambling behavior, we can guide you to less aggressive games or other type of gaming types that might not be as intrusive or as challenging for you personally.
But building, how far away is that?
It's around the corner. I think you can see operators in that, and we do it already today. But I think just look at where the new the big giants. If you look into Netflix or you look into Spotify, you're getting your own customized sort of start page or home page, and the online gaming industry must follow that. That will be absolutely needed, and that will in itself also drive loyalty, I think.
So personalization, is that a way forward, you think, Maria?
I don't know if it's a way forward for resolving the situation with responsible gaming and the situation for the market. I think it's a good service for any customer to be able to get a personalized service, but I don't think it's a solution to responsible gaming issues that we see the market is facing.
So you've been in the business for 15 years. So are you disappointed in the way it's turned out? Seems to me, reading between the lines, that I can hear that from you in this conversation.
I am a bit disappointed, actually, because I feel that there is a lack of innovation, and I feel that the investments are going into the only two product categories that have generated the massive growth that we have seen. And very little has been invested in actually finding new type of games making the industry become a little bit better. So any trade show you go to during the last 15 years, you can see this massive exposure of casino games, and almost all other type of games have disappeared.
So Matthias, if we meet here again in 5 years in this conference room, what have you done to make Maria feel less disappointed in the online gaming industry?
Well, first of all, we will have a license in Sweden that we should have in 4 or 5 months, so that's good. Then the bill that's been put forward is putting a 100% demand on responsible gaming. So I think the industry will have taken this element much, much more seriously. And I think you could also see operators, you know, spending more money and time and effort on having a good cause in the society. I think that operators that don't take responsible gaming seriously will go out of business because it's a demand also in the new bill that's being put forward. And then if we manage to crack sort of the loyalty nut, I think also less aggressive marketing will be needed.
So before we wrap things up, Matthias, what's your biggest takeaway from this conversation?
That we don't entirely agree on where we come from, but also I don't have 15 years of industry experience. I have 10 months. I think there are great opportunities, and I think deregulating the Swedish market will put split the market. There will be serious actors like ourselves or operators, and there will perhaps be not as serious. And I think that the way we market each other, or the way we market ourselves, will send a totally different signal. And then I'm looking forward to being able to spend more time and money on paying back to the society, because today it's not that we won't like to do it, it's we can't do it because we're not allowed entirely.
Maria?
That the regulation, I wouldn't call it deregulation, but that we are actually regulating an unregulated market is something that I feel is very important for the whole industry. Because only by doing that, according to my personal belief, we can have a responsibility and a responsible gaming strategy that is credible, not only on paper, but actually in words and action also.
Maria and Matthias, thanks for showing up here in the conference room.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for now. This podcast was edited by Alexander Sjöblom. In future episodes, we'll discuss marketing and changing the gaming industry. Thanks for listening.